Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast whose budget certainly does not include anything big enough to replace broken televisions. I'm your host, David Lloyd, and this week we continue our five-hour adventures with the title from a possibly defunct Square Enix development studio in Lost Sphere. The ritual-inspired title come from the Tokyo RPG Factory, and this is a game that's it's been on our backlogs for many years, so much so that I think our sealed copies actually have dust on them at this point, so it seemed like the perfect game to give a five-hour trial to. Joining me is a man who has stopped thinking that RPGs should be produced in a factory. It's Jordan Rudick.
I was finishing up my 5 hours last night, and I was so disgusted by just the experience, the time I was having with this game. I was like, I'm like, you know, just getting to that point where we are our stopping point that we kind of decided in our Slack chat, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Just getting to that, I'm just crawling to this point. I'm like, I just want a boss to kill me so I can just stop. I just want a game over so I can stop. Like, that's kind of what I was looking to have happen. So, yeah, that's kind of my angle on this episode. So, maybe I'm alone. I don't know, but
yeah. Well, I'm perfectly happy to pass off the irrationally emotional crown onto you for this episode, Jordan.
I am irrationally bitter and disappointed in this game. Like, it is not my normal stance in looking at games. So, yeah.
And also joining us is a person that should hate this game the most, based on what it's done to her television. It's Paige Chamberlain.
Yeah, it's you haven't had a TV in the house for like 2 days, and it's very weird. The wall is naked, and I'm just like, oh, what do I do?
you could replace your TV with the memory of a TV. As if you were in the game and your TV is like this white spot there, and you're, yeah.
I'll just grab some Simpsons quotes and some game lines, and then I'll form the TV back.
That's right.
Like,
that's
right. Exactly. It'll have to be a memory from something other than this game, because you wouldn't want to have that rage.
Those are just nightmares. Those are all nightmares. There's no good ones there.
Oh man! Well, if we haven't already kind of spoiled the outcome so far, we might be 0-2 on our 5 hour trips. But I mean, these are the perfect times to take them. Is gives us this opportunity to tap out. So I guess all we can do is talk about why the Tokyo RPG Factory. You know, has been missing. They've had three. I don't know if what we call them all flops per se, but
I mean, maybe commercially. Well, like, I don't think any of them sold well. Like, we can probably agree on that.
One of the games was so bad I couldn't finish the demo. So that.
Oh, which was that, Onanaki or Susuna?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even finish the demo.
And I think that's the best one. I like that one the best of the three. But
isn't that the game where the main character's parents are like brutally murdered at the end of the demo or something?
Yeah, you're like talking to dead people in that one, basically. And you're trying to restore souls to like people that have died, or you want to send their souls off. So you have to like complete missions like that. Yeah, exactly. It's the action one.
Well, before we get into the specific game, let's talk about Tokyo RPG Factory a little bit, because I was doing some research and I think it's kind of funny. So they've done three games up to this point. There's I Am Setsuna, which we actually have an episode on. Mm-hmm. That one wasn't that bad. I think our kind of final call on that was it was basically like, it was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly. It's fine.
We got, then next up was this one, Lost, because Setsuna was first, I think.
Yes, it was first.
And then Lost Sphere was second. So we'll talk about that garbage heap now. And then the third one was Onanaki, which I remember when it first came out, I was actually like semi-excited about it. It seemed like it was getting a bit of buzz. Mm-hmm. And then it came out. And I don't think it reviewed all that well back in 2019, I think, is when it came out.
I probably have the highest review for it. So
No. I literally went on reception for Onanaki. And it's got like Heidi of GameSpot was particularly negative. Da, da, da. By contrast, Nintendo World Report's Jordan Rudick gave it a positive review, praising the developers for their efforts and lauding its themes and mechanics, despite disliking the ending and noting pacing issues.
You're darn right. I was looking up the score. I thought I gave it an 8.5. I only gave it an 8. So I'm like, even I can't remember fully what I did there. But I think that's so funny. Yeah, thank you, Paige. That's very
you're on Wikipedia.
Part of history here, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't heard a peep from them since 2019. Their website hasn't changed since 2019. Like, the last thing on their website is something about a press release for Anunnaki. There are sources that reference a fourth game that was being worked on in 2019. But the history of it is a little murky, which something has changed recently at Square that makes me think that whole department is toast. So the actual like history of the thing is back in 2013, Matsuda, who previously was in charge at Square Enix, actually spearheaded the whole development team. It was basically, he had this plan that they were going to bring in like a bunch of freelancers. Basically, it was like all these freelancers that they worked with. He wanted to like make this development studio out of freelancers and just people at Square Enix that wanted to volunteer their time. And basically with the ethos that they were going to make games from the golden era, you know, the Chrono Triggers, the Final Fantasy 4s and 6s, like that was basically the goal that he had in mind in this. So they had the three games with a fourth that was being worked on or whatever. And I can't remember. It was a couple. It was just recently that Square Enix has a new a new president. Matsuda's out. So my thinking is when you don't have the president of the company, behind your back, keeping this whole thing going. I have a feeling that the new, I think his name is Kiryu. I think that whole development team is probably long gone.
It says that with Anunnaki, there was I've lost the thing you were saying, that financial loss during that period. So the other two sold enough, but...
Oh, the third one didn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because everyone was so jaded after the first two. They weren't going to get burned again, right? Like, I think that's what was unfortunate is I think Anunnaki is, at least of the three I've played, or those three, I've played all three now. I still think that's the best one. But because it's different, and the fact that you have these two kind of very middling games that come up before it, you almost don't have that opportunity to, oh, guys, we changed the formula now. Come back and play a third one. Like, I don't know, you know, kind of burned that bridge twice before. So,
and like on their Wikipedia, it's got like net income with like a down arrow. So I don't, which is confusing. Like, does that mean they've lost that much money, or is it just like it's less compared to? The funniest thing, I was playing this game and being like, you know, oh, why does it like look such and such way? And it's like, oh, they have 10 employees, maybe a few more, because that was 20. But that was 10 employees at the time of this game. So.
Yeah. Well, and just recently, like after the Final Fantasy 16, they've been talking about sales and stuff. And the kind of media talk out of Square right now is that they want to concentrate on the bigger titles now, and they're not as concerned with these kind of mid-tier games anymore.
Oh, you know, maybe they shouldn't release like 6 RPGs within 3 months of each other.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like 6 RPGs, and don't give anyone review codes until the game's already out, if at all.
Yeah,
I just see that message, that quote about Square on needing to pivot to AAA games when like those are the ones that constantly underperform for them. You know, whereas it's games like, you know, Life Alive and Bravely Default 2. Like, I think the HD 2D games, like those are the ones that seem to do well for them. You know, like probably make money for them. And are perform well critically, and yet it's not, you know, we're not going to focus on those, you know. Yeah. I'd even hesitate to call the Tokyo RPG Factory games like mid tier. I think they're, and I don't just say that. Oh gosh, I don't just say that just like undermine them or put them down here. I think that like if you compare them to the actual mid tier games, like again, the Live Alives, the Triangle Strategies, the Bravely Defaults, the Dragon Quest HD 2D remake,
Field Chronicle,
those ones feel a little bit more mid-tier, you know, like in terms of like time and money effort put into those games.
We've got the size of an indie studio with Tokyo RPG Factory.
Exactly. Yeah, you know,
this is like pet project territory, I think.
Yeah, I think it's just like, how can we make decent games with as little a budget and as small a staff as possible? You know, and it's just, you're just trying this experiment. And I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's more or less, it's failed here, right? So,
yeah, just, it certainly seems like, the experiment just, it didn't work. Like, if you're trying to make a decent enough JRPG with the smallest budget possible, you get what you pay for, I guess, would be.
I mean, nostalgia alone is not enough to get people to come and buy these games, right? You can't just say, oh, it's a turn-based system like you remember. It has some things from Chrono Trigger that you remember, like the X-Cut co-op ability. You know, like, that's not enough. We need a little bit more. Or, you know, we've got characters with familiar names or references to old games, you know. You can't just get people to stay on board with that.
Especially, I mean, more so nowadays in more current years when, like, you know, you're like, oh, we've got this person from this game. And a lot of people realize, you know, this one person, it doesn't exactly do enough to bring the same feeling back, you know?
Totally, yes.
Or like, for example, say in Final Fantasy 16 thing, they kept talking about one guy from Capcom saying, like, you know, he worked on Devil May Cry 5 and Yoshi P was like the head of it, but like he both of them weren't as involved as, you know, compared to other people would have been, but they were the ones that were putting out as the PR, like, look at them.
Yeah, you're kind of just advertising or marketing it, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I guess we can get into the actual details of Lost Sphere. So, yeah, like you said, this is a Tokyo RPG. It pretty much, like, if you played I Am Setsuna, I would say it's pretty much using the exact same engine.
It's so similar.
It looks like it was basically made at the same time because it's like everything about it. So it's kind of that isometric view where you kind of overhead and you have the... again, I guess, like, the Chrono Trigger is probably easily what they're kind of channeling, because it's kind of that same view, other than it's using kind of like a 3D model. Almost, I guess it's like closer to Bravely Default, kind of that not quite chibi, but like smaller character 3D.
They look kind of a bit clunky and weird. I don't like it too much. Like, I don't completely hate it. I did play the 5 hours of it, but Bravely Default, it kind of looks nice because they kind of look like dolls and they've got, you know, little like legs and stuff. Whereas this, they have big clunky hands and they're just...
There's a little bit more art to a game like Bravely Default, whereas this one, they kind of just feel like, I don't know, like there's no substance to them. You know, there's no heart to them, I suppose. They're just kind of like computer generated or something like that.
Like Bravely Default or like Harvestella, they just sort of look like little dolls because they're kind of simplified with small legs, but they're kind of clunky. Character design wise, they're really nothing. They kind of look more like generic adventure NPCs you'd get.
I agree. That's right. You know? Yeah, they know what they do. They look like NPCs, exactly.
They look like a hireling. Like, you know, they might be a fighter or something, but they're not, a named person. And then it was really weird. Like, so you've got the little portraits you can barely see, and then there's some characters where I wish you'd see a portrait when you talk to them because I want to see the actual design. But when you're, like, in the sort of pause menu, they've got these sprites that look more like Earthbound-style sprites than normally, you know, these games that go for, like, a Final Fantasy style.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. It's something about the UI is just kind of off-putting. Like, it doesn't all fit together. You know, you have, like those character sprites that kind of look like Earthbound portraits or something like that. And then you have like this just bare bones menuing, not a lot of style or panache to it, you know, going into like equip items or check your inventory, stuff like that. It all feels very bland. Like there isn't really much kind of drawing you to it, UI wise.
Like I said, it's like the more of the Earthbound style pixel sprites are out of nowhere to be kind of retro-y, but it's like got nothing to do with Square Enix or anything.
No, nothing.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Bland and generic is. Bland and generic is definitely the best way to. For it kind of across the board, really. Like the plot of the game is essentially. I don't think they ever named the world, or I don't recall them saying it, but whatever world they live in, it's kind of your generic medieval-ish with some futuristic aspects to it. And basically the main story is that people and places and things are all kind of just vanishing into this white haze. And the only way to bring them back is that this one character, the main character, Kanata, has some kind of power that doesn't exactly know how to use it, but knows that he has to collect memories and convert those memories into matter, I guess, because the memories are basically like used to bring back whatever it is that was missing. So the first thing that kind of happens is you start off in this little rural village. So Kanata is the main character, kind of a young, they don't really get into how young they are, but they're probably in their teenage years. So there's Kanata, the Lumina, which is a friend, and Locke. So there's basically these three characters that are basically tasked with protecting the village. The first thing you end up doing in the game is kind of walking around the village looking for monsters and making sure they're not hurting anybody, ringing the emergency bell when one is spotted. And I don't even remember the reason. There's, for some reason, they leave the village to go investigate something outside, and when they come back, the village is gone, and in this white haze. So it's just this white light that kind of encompasses, and so they don't really know what's supposed to be happening. And Kanata receives a vision explaining, you know, how to bring things back with memories, and so that's kind of like bringing back the village is basically the first thing that happens. And when that happens, there's these agents from the Empire, like the capital city, who witness what happens and then realize, like, oh, you know, you're our savior. You can come help find things that were lost. You can bring these things back. So, you know, they head to the capital city and they get into some hijinks of trying to return things that are in this white haze. And that's more or less kind of where we end up stopping in our 5 year or 5 hour trial. But nothing, I don't know, the story itself, like, we're into 5 hours. From what I've read, it's about a 35-hour game, which seems insane for even just, like, the setup of how things are. Like, it's just kind of, like, even Chrono Trigger wasn't 35 hours, and it was...
I can't imagine how they stretched this out. Like, I think that the story just doesn't do anything. Like, there's nothing compelling. And it's the problem with RPGs, again, we've talked about this before, is when you don't have a compelling villain or antagonist to draw you forward, to make you hate them, or to try to understand their point of view, at least within the first 5 hours, you're not getting that. So, like, you're trying... All you understand is that you are going around to bring back these lost areas of the map, right? And sometimes literally just going to a point in the map, you know, clicking on it, creating, like, this structure, which is kind of cool. These structures have, like, buffs to combat and stuff like that. And then you fill in the area, and it's a mountain range or a valley or something, and then filling that area and lets you go to the next town or the next dungeon or something like that. But other than, you know, you're contracted out by the Emperor or the Empire at some point, you're working for these generals, and you're going to different dungeons and things like that. And where we kind of ended off, we're at the point where you see this group who is accused of kind of creating these lost areas. But at no point do you get a sense of, like, what are you trying to stop in this world? You know, what are you fighting against? What is the overall objective other than just bringing back these lost areas, which you can seemingly do quite easily? You know, I think that, yes, we know the adage about, you know, this game gets good after 5, 10, 15, 20 hours. But, like, at some point, like, our experiment here is whether it's worth that time investment, you know, to get there. And I don't think in this game that it is. Even David, you're saying it gets worse or doesn't get better in the remaining hours. I'm already bored to tears by the first 5 hours. Like, I can't imagine this game getting much worse than it is. It already lacks any kind of compelling mechanics or plot details of any kind. So I'm surprised by how negative I am on the game, but I really think it's actually a step back from I Am Setsuna and a leap back from Oninaki, is from my point of view.
Well, there's no characters that really, like, showed a whole lot of personality. Like,
the characters suck so bad. Like,
yeah, they're awful.
Especially, I hate Locke, especially because he just keeps doing that stomp, and it's so annoying. I was very happy when we thought he was gonna die Yeah. But then it was like, oh, he's in hospital now. He'll be okay. I'm like, no!
Yeah. That would have been an interesting plot point if you actually killed off a main character 5 hours in. You know, yeah. I'd be like, bravo, you did something that's remotely interesting. But yeah. You know, you've got this other character, Van, who joins you. He's some mysterious edgelord type, you know, and he's got laser beams and things like that. I'm like, oh, you're cool. But then, like, you don't do anything with that character. And then Kanata and Lumina, like...
He hints that he's royalty, but then nobody pulls him up on that when he says it. Then they're like, huh?
No one says, no, there's no follow-up. There's no pushback.
They're pretty obsessed with talking all the time and all saying their piece. Like, not every... I feel like so many games do it, like, every character has to have a reaction to something's happening, and, like, not everyone says everything in the conversation all the time.
They're talking and literally saying nothing. Like, there's no substance to it. It's all so vapid dialogue. Yeah.
Lumina and Locke, like, cause I think they're trying to do that straight man, silly man thing, but it's just, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not interesting. It makes me hate them both. They're just...
Well, the only, and everybody was just kind of nice, like, the only complex character, per se, was the first general, who was just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But everyone else is just kind of, like, laissez-faire, I guess, I don't know, like, Galdra, I guess, is, like, the
captain-y guy?
Yeah, he's a captain of some kind of guard, like empirical guard, I guess, who's like kind of working directly for the emperor, and it seems to be like the protector of these kids. But even Galdra doesn't show, like, he kind of takes a father figure, I guess. But like you said, there's not a whole lot of substance that's been said, at least in the first 5 hours. And yeah, I was reading some of the criticisms, like reviews of like what goes on later, and it doesn't seem like much of the story, much happens like throughout the thing. Like it's just kind of goes along, and I guess like the combat gets worse as the game goes on. I guess a lot of it is, so there's this one mechanic where I guess it was about 3 or 4 hours into our playthrough, you get these robot suits, and So they have this like batteries, I guess. So you're only really supposed to get so much use out of them. But what ends up happening is that the suits don't actually have they have one attack. They have one attack, and you get to use it once, and then they're useless. Like, you can't even attack. Like, you have to unequip them mid battle just to go back to what you're doing before.
To keep unequipping the one guy that seemed to like.
Yes, the,
like,
new guy.
Because you press unequip all, but like he'd still be wearing it, so you have to do it twice.
Yes, remember that. Yeah, but, Oros or whatever the heck his name is.
Yeah, because combat is sort of okay because like, it's an active time battle. The special moves, you have to wait a certain amount of turns before you can use them again, even though you also have an MP meter, so I don't see the point in doing both.
Would you have both? Yeah.
If it's written here, the long-range fighters are good because you want to... There are certain enemies that you want to get rid of immediately.
Though, so the one caveat with the long-range fighters is sometimes I didn't... So you can position... So in the turn-based battle, you can position the person on the field of battle wherever you want right before they attack. And so, yeah, like Locke and Van both have, so Locke uses, I think, a crossbow and Van has these lasers. So you can kind of position yourself in a line with all and try to attack as many enemies at once. And it'll show like, it'll highlight the enemies. But if you haven't selected the person at the end, then it won't go through everyone, even though they're all selected. Like, it'll only still, like, if you only have the first person selected, even though all three or all four are highlighted, you only hit the first person. And I don't even think, from what I can remember, there's no, like, little arrow that says, like, you selected this person. Like, they're all just highlighted. And really, the only way you can figure out who you've selected is if you, like, move away so that they're not all highlighted, and then you highlight the one at the end, and then you walk back to highlight. Like, it's such a convoluted system.
I guess I tended to do that by default because you'd want to pull everyone in by the end. So
yeah. I think that's what I was really doing too. Problem, yeah, I didn't. So. Neither did I. What I hated was the momentum meter. In that, like, so there's this mechanic where after you've done a certain amount of turns or actions or something, like you build up like these momentum charges. There are these blue kind of lights that appear above your character's health or their bar at the bottom. And you can, what will happen is when you do an attack or a special attack, if they have a momentum meter charge, then they will they'll light up in blue just before they attack. And so you want to hit square or whatever the button on the left is to activate and get like a second attack, usually a second weaker attack, or to buff the strength of your primary attack. The problem is, because it's ATB, if you have a character that's doing their attack, but you're in the middle of menuing for another character, it's very hard to, and maybe impossible, to activate the first character's momentum attack because you're menuing for the second character. And at least that's where I was getting stuck. I'm trying to do these momentum attacks, but as I was menuing, I wasn't able to do them. Or maybe you are, but I was just, it would cancel me out or something like that. I don't know. But that was very just awkward to try to figure out how to balance that out. Like,
my issue is I had all the characters kind of popping off at the same time, so I'd be giving
yes, exactly. a command. same kind of thing for me. Like all their attacks come up at the same time, and so you're in the menu for one or the second one, or someone else's menu pops up and you're trying to do a momentum attack. It's just very, very difficult.
It is connected to, like, you get the Spear Knight thing, which is weird, like the extra equipment stuff. The way you get new moves is you need resources to make
materia.
Moves and then add them basically.
And oh, but calling it materia is, it is not even close to that, the effectiveness of that system.
It is an insult to Final Fantasy to call the sprite net materia.
Every reference we make in this episode, we're talking about something better than this game, right? Like, we are not meaning to disparage or put down the games we are referencing. We're just trying to give some analogy.
Okay, yeah. So like what he's saying is the way that Jordan feels about this game is how we feel about the first Octopath Traveler.
God, why? No, that they can't even be mentioned in the same breath. Like, if anyone like legitimately thought these games were similar, like you have to turn in your RPG gamer card.
I'll throw you a bone here, Jordan. I will say that this game was worse than the first Octopath Traveler.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, as in how he feels, you know.
Yes. And again, like I just said, no analogy. We're not meant to disparage the other games. We're just trying to help people here. But
well, you know what's funny about the momentum meter is I must not have been paying attention when they explained how the damn thing worked. Because I kept hitting the button, and I'm like, why doesn't this work? Like, I legitimately thought my X button on my Steam Deck was broken, because I'm like, why isn't this doing anything?
That would have been more fun than playing this game. If your Steam Deck was broken, you weren't able to play this game anymore.
I'm like,
that would have been
what?
More
fun.
My TV got broken, and I couldn't continue to play the game past the 5 hours.
This game has really done a lot of psychological damage to us.
I'm not convinced that Paige didn't throw her controller at the television in a rage.
It might have been me throwing my controller all the way around the world and hitting her TV. I was about ready to do that. Can we go back to the robot suits for a second? Like, they're so dumb. Like, you run out of energy for them. There's no way to... I don't know how you get that energy back.
You have to sleep.
So
if you're in a dungeon, you can't sleep. They talk about all these cool abilities, like able to like skip fights and like do these things outside of combat as well with the suits. But you need energy to do that. And you use all your energy doing like one single attack with the suits. And how do they not have a standard melee attack? How do they not have a standard basic attack? Like there's literally no command there. It's just like question marks or blanks.
Well, with like Illumina, it's using her special attack, so then she can't do anything the next turn because those attacks have that time limit on them for no good reason.
Oh, and, boy.
Yeah, I never used them at all. It didn't make any sense to use them whatsoever.
Like, you're one potentially cool mechanic and you screw it up so royally. Like, the one neat thing about this game is you get... In every game where you get mech suits, it's really cool. You know, the Xenoblade games, first and foremost, so awesome when you get the mech suits. But this game, I don't know how you do it so poorly. Like, it's actually worse and more cumbersome to have the suits on than off. So, like, okay, you might as well just not have them in the game. Other than the times when you're in the dungeon and you need to switch to them to activate a stupid elevator or a teleport pad or something like that. Like, very just good. Good press good two game buttons. Design there.
And then the Spirit Knight stuff, you also got to, you can attach them to momentum. So then I think the effects trigger when you do momentum, but I feel like I've had it trigger when I didn't do the momentum move, so I don't
Even just trying to like do the menuing for the Sprite Knight and attach it to characters to give them new abilities or to put it anywhere. Again, the menu is so unintuitive and just kind of plain that it's almost hard to figure that out. Like how to do these things. And again, I never felt incentivized to do that, even though there are difficulty spikes in this game with the bosses, where if you have if you've been running around most of the enemy encounters like I had been, and again, which is it is similar to Chrono Trigger in that like you go close to an enemy and then it instigates the battle, right? I've been running around a bunch of them, and then I get to the boss fight and get creamed. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I need to go back and actually fight those fights. So they're not really optional. You do have to fight pretty much every battle you come across.
Yeah,
you can't skip.
Well, also because you need to collect the memories to be able to create the path.
That's right. That's right.
In dungeons, so.
Or even to get what was cool is you can use the memories to activate even treasure chests could be lost, and so you have to bring the correct memories. So yes, you're super incentivized to do all of the combat here. It is not not optional.
And I had one boss fight where I thought maybe I needed to grind, but the enemies only respawn if you leave the entire area.
So that's
like
right.
The first boss, I was like, "What the heck?" That was how everything else was so far been pretty easy, but that first boss was like the first time I've played an active time game where I had to actually wait till I used my character's turn.
Yeah,
because he would suck you guys in and then attack, and then you'd be stuffed because you move. No one can move because you can't move until you can attack. So
yeah, that giant boar was not very fun, but probably a lesson in how you're supposed to, you know, just not jam the attack button as soon as your turn comes up. You have to be a little bit more strategic.
I've never had a game with that style, like where the active time meant not just immediately attack.
Yeah.
Well, then the boar was a damage sponge too on top of everything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, and I hate RPGs that don't show you the health of the enemy. And
yes.
So for the first 5 hours, went through the whole game, never knew what the enemy's hit power was. Never like you come across a new enemy. You don't know, like, is it going to take one hit, two, three? Is this going to be like another damage sponge? Who knows? And then it was right at the very end. I think it was literally the last thing I did.
Yep.
Was I unlocked. So you can unlock these structures, so you get to choose based on whatever memories you have in your inventory. You can choose what kind of structure is made at these lost points. Like you said, it opens up the map to go into other places.
Mm-hmm.
But the structure comes up and it applies some kind of buff to your team throughout the game. And I finally got one that allowed you to know what the hit power of the enemy was. And I'm like, yes, at the end of the 5 hours, thank you for giving me this option.
Yeah, I think I had that one about halfway through. And I was like, oh, okay, that's convenient. Maybe I'd just been picking up all the resources that are around the overworld map.
But I want to spam the one that makes my world map walking speed fast.
Oh, yes, that's what you want.
Food. Artifacts or whatever system kind of reminded me of like a better game where like Alliance Alive, where you build these towers and it seems like it fits in, but then it's really not. It's just, even in that game, it really doesn't matter that much. Like you think, oh, I've really got to like work on this thing, and then it's just an extra little thing.
That's a good comparison page. This game does remind me of Alliance Alive as well. I think that one's a little bit more interesting, but in terms of what it's doing in the overworld and kind of building things, changing the map a little bit.
Kind of the same look,
too. A game where I say, like, it's kind of just a bit above average, but, like, I really liked it. You know, it had a lot of personality and interesting little...
I want to talk to someone who really likes this game, because I just don't know what... I don't know what it does well that would draw someone in, or what it references, or what it makes you think about that'd be like, oh, this is super... just a game I really want to get into. I just don't know. I can't see anything that it does well.
Like,
Nintendo World Report probably gave it the highest mark.
A full score review from someone. I could hit you up on Twitter with someone that gave it a 5 out of 5. If you want.
5 out of 5? Oh my gosh.
This person tends to be very... I don't know. They do a lot of like full scores and like their scoring system, but then they will be harsh on bad games too. So it's very interesting. Mm.
Well, Switch player gave it a 9 out of 10.
Oh gosh, yeah. Maybe if it's the first Switch game you've ever played or something like that. But
Nintendo,
well, it was 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nintendo Life gave it 8 out of 10.
Is it possible that like, if you haven't played I Am Setsuna, you'd like this game better, but like us coming off of playing that game and then you see so much similar.
I am Setsuna, so.
I think it's better, David. I think you'd agree with me. Like
I Am Setsuna is better than this for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, the digitally downloaded .NET gave it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Let's get me in touch with that. Whoever wrote that review. Yeah, I just want to know what compels
him on
you
on the podcast, and we'll have a 10-minute segment where we just grill him and ask him why he could possibly give it that score.
Oh, it's funny. NWR didn't even review it.
Yeah. That's good. That's
yeah, good. Well, see, if they did, then Jordan would have reviewed it and would have quit, and this podcast would have never happened.
I think this game came out just before I joined the site. So
the first image would have been lost to time.
Had I known we reviewed it and gave it above like a 5, I would have been like, I should probably write for a different outlet. Yeah.
Maybe. I was there. Maybe you weren't. It was January 2018.
I joined like just after that. Like probably March maybe or February. Like it was very close to that time. I might have been, actually that's not true. I might have been freelancing before that, but I'd have to go back and see. I might have done a few freelance reviews before that time, but... Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's tough.
I think that's all the systems. So we've got the combat, the spirit knight, the artifacts, the lost year. Oh, and the fishing, where like everyone has to disappear into you so that you can press the A button and then you catch the fish and then everyone comes out. And then if you want to fish again, you have to do that whole animation process again. That's great.
Yeah, just makes a ton of sense. Why wouldn't you want to do it that way? What about the towns? Like even the towns, like they just seem. Oh god, nothing. The music. No, I have to talk about the music. The music is so bad. I just think it's bad music. Like I'm trying to think what scene I was in for. Like, I think it's
We'll make sure to put it in the podcast.
Please do. But yeah, please. just you put white noise. You might as well. White noise is more entertaining. I was stuck one place yesterday for like 30 minutes or so. It was before that final dungeon, one of the last areas, maybe the HQ where you're talking to the generals and they give you the quest that you're going to go on. That last quest that we did before we dipped out. I had that on for like 30 minutes or something like that. I just couldn't believe how bad and just annoying it is.
That reminds me too that so there doesn't, like, unless I couldn't find the button for it, which is quite possible, there seemed to be no map to speak of other than like that little.
There's no map in towns, I think, which would be annoying the way everything visually looks.
Well, that HQ, I was walking around forever trying to figure out where the hell's Galdra. They're like, oh yeah, he's in like the command center, and I'm like going up and down and through elevators and around, and I
didn't like the capital. That place was
no. Just not fun to look at, not fun to walk around. Like
visually, I like there's a couple of like lookout points where you go, and then it's just a flat sort of painted back. It makes it look like there's movie sets where the backgrounds are painted set. Because I went to an optional area because I just didn't know where, you know, you sort of get the vague direction, but if you weren't listening for like 1 second... Like, I didn't know where, because it was covered in the lost stuff, I didn't know where the labyrinth I was supposed to go was. So then I saw this ship, so I just went into this shipyard, like, circling that 3 times in a row, because it was a big, much more of a labyrinth than the labyrinth was, to be honest. Like, it was much more, like, mazy. And then I got to the end with a save point, and then it was just, like, this cliff edge, and I'm like, so is there supposed to be a boss here normally? And I just, we're not up to it yet, like... Just a sec, because like clearly there's a treasure chest I can't open because I beat all the enemies there and didn't get the memory. So I'm going to assume at some point I'm going to come back for this whole thing again and do a boss fight. But and then we got a boat and we couldn't take it anywhere because it's blocked off by.
Yeah, that was frustrating. That was frustrating. Did you guys go to that area like the where all those derelict ships were, like just beside
that
place?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Okay.
I saw it there. I didn't actually go in though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can actually go in it. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So if you need to grind a little bit, there was that. But then I did that and I went up like 3 or so levels and then one of the guys joined me for a bit and he was way more leveled than I was. And I'm like, what? So I'm supposed to be this level? Like, I'm supposed to go to this place with no indication and level up like 3 times more? Because
like
I
how much
lost.
Grinding are they expecting us to do in this game? Like I stopped playing at the, it's the boss in that, What are the people called that tribe
Twilighters?
The Twilighters. So I was fighting that Twilighter girl who had the two monsters with her. I mean, they crushed me. Like, it wasn't even close. Like two shots and they destroyed me, and I was doing no damage to them. I'd avoided most of the fights in that mountainous area before you kind of go into that little temple part. And yes, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't have a lot. I don't know if I'd missed out on like upgrading my items at some point. I'd bought the Indigo Sprite Knight to put into all the weapons, so I had that. I hadn't upgraded their armors, I guess, but I just felt like they were doing so much damage against me, like 100 plus per hit. I've got like 200 HP. I'm like, how are you supposed to win this fight? Yeah, I can go back and grind, but I just felt it's gonna be pretty tough. Curb stomped her,
but it was like that was supposed to be a boss fight. But that, like, I did technically grind before that. The Assassin of the Boar, I found it pretty easy, but I did fight every enemy because they don't reappear unless you've like left the area.
Yeah,
so it's just like I just clear out the area and then go on. With the exception being that boat area where there's sort of a bit you go inside one of the boats and then end up to another section of the map. So
yeah.
That would respawn the enemies when I went back. So I ended up, going up three or so levels.
a key point is that I also, I wanted her to kill me. I wanted her to end my run. So I could, that was going to be my stopping point. I'm like, if I beat her, I'm probably ending it anyways. But if I die, I'm definitely ending. I'm not playing anymore. So I kind of wanted to lose it.
I used the classic NES RPG trick in which I just spammed using potions.
Yes, that's right. Where
they were so dirt cheap in the capital.
Yeah, they are.
I just bought like 40, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to lose to the boss because I'm just going to keep drinking potions.
It's not the Marsh Cave, but it may as well be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Dragon's Dogma, like, I actually like that game. I like what it was doing. I understand, like, you know, kind of comparing it to some of its predecessors or the games around that time, like, It did feel kind of dated and just missing some things, but this one, like, I just don't see any path to redemption here. I don't other than just seeing it like as a worse I Am Setsuna, as if they had story ideas in brainstorming these two games and like, let's do Setsuna first because that's the better one, and then we already have all these ideas for Lost Fear. Listen, we might as well just put it out.
Funny, I only like recently, like in the game, just learned, I think a bit past the 5 hour mark, that there's no knight in this world. And there's nothing to you that even indicates it up until that point, you know? Like, you stay in inns and you're like, there's, you know, like, okay, there's no knight scenes, but you stay in inns and stuff, because nobody knows what knight is, so you have no idea that there's no...
And they're not going to mention it. They're not going to mention, it's never nighttime, because they don't know what that is, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Yeah,
your description of that, Jordan, of the two games reminds me of Twins, where Arnold Schwarzenegger is like the genetically created thing, and then Danny DeVito's made from the crap left over.
Except they're both Danny DeVito in this case. There is no Arnold. You know,
I've never heard of that movie, but it sounds amazing. And
it's a good one. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, sorry. For Paige, that's going to be an obscure reference, but for David and I, who grew up with something like that.
One of the few Danny DeVito movies I've watched, he was more of his director, I think he wasn't really in it very much, was War of the Roses, and that ended much differently than I thought it was.
Oh, that's not Michael Douglas, is it?
I'm not familiar with this one, so you've.
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it for sure. Yeah, don't know the film. But.
I was definitely more into the late '80s, early '90s Arnold's movies at the time.
Let's see. It's Michael Douglas. Yeah, because I watched that because I'm like, oh, it's like a couple that's about to divorce, fighting a bunch, and it didn't end in the way I thought. It was like, well, there's a few movies where it's like, oh, the ending's kind of got to me. I wasn't expecting that.
Did you watch that movie because that's the same woman from Crocodile Dundee?
No.
That's a good guess.
I think I saw some scene or something and I was like, yeah, I'll find this movie and I'll watch it. Yeah.
Can we do final verdicts? I really don't want to.
I hate the game so much.
I want to tap out.
Just put my misery. Like this lost, like I want to be lost right now. I don't want any of these games' memories to come back and find me.
It's okay. Soon we'll have another indie RPG that has some kind of Chrono Trigger style to it.
Oh, yes. There is, again, cannot mention them in the same breath. Sea of Stars will 100% be better than this game.
And the fishing is definitely better.
Yeah, confirmed fishing is much much more involved, much funner.
If Sea of Stars was only the fishing part of Sea of Stars, it would still be a more compelling game than this. If that was literally all you did in the game. Like, we'll do Legend of the River King, and that's all you're doing is the fishing. Like, great. Yeah. Better than this.
See, if my TV hadn't broken, I don't know if I'd finish the whole game, but I wanted to play a little bit more. I was interested.
You know? I feel betrayed by a statement like that. Like, I feel like if I could personally attack, like, Paige would admit to wanting to play more of this game.
Well, I had to pay, like, $7 for this game.
That's fair. That's fair. We haven't talked about sunk costs on this podcast yet, but yes, you feel like you want to get your money's worth. I understand.
I couldn't believe it when I was checking the eShop and stuff, though. It's $70 Australian for this game. And I'm like, are you kidding? Before I even start playing it, it's almost just like just shy of full price.
I'm pretty sure we got I Am Sitsuna on sale, David. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we bought that on sale.
Yeah,
that
it was us to a play. Sale. But yeah. I'm embarrassed to say I paid twice for Lost Sphere because I actually bought the PS4 copy of it at GameStop because it was on sale. I will say it was on sale. But I actually wanted to play on my Steam Deck, so I bought the game there as well, also on sale. I think I'm $20 in the hole because I'm pretty sure I paid $10 each.
I think between the two of you, you've doubled the number of copies that this game sold. So congratulations. are going back. Like, who's buying this game in 2023?
We're going to revive the fourth game just based on our podcast.
It's going to be Lost Sphere 2. It's going to be a sequel, direct sequel.
No, I bought a pre-owned copy, so that's how I saved myself from the $70 digital.
Well, yeah, there you go. You did not support Square Enix.
90% off, yeah.
I mean, the irony is I did buy a copy, too. I just didn't play the copy I bought. Like, I have a copy of Lost Sphere still sealed. I don't know when I bought it. I got it on sale at some point, probably on a Black Friday deal, maybe $20 or $30. But I ended up playing it on PS5 because it's on the PS Extra tier. I think it's the second tier or third tier.
Would you play more of it if someone gave you your $20, $30 back?
No, that you couldn't pay me any amount to play more of this game. There's no dollar figure I would put on this. My time's more valuable. I can't.
There's Jordan's final verdict there. You couldn't pay me to play this game.
I want to revise my verdict that I wrote down in the notes because I think even that's not strong enough. Like to call the game mid or serviceable. It's not. I just don't think it is. I think there's nothing redeeming about it. I have zero interest in this game.
Okay, I just remember, so a game I hate, an RPG I hate so much, is supposed to get, like, an update, and now I'm like, I want to make you guys play that, too.
At this point, I'm down for anything that's not Lost Sphere, so this is your opportunity to put us through anything else.
What game is it?
Yeek. The like Y2K,
but oh, I have that. I started it, but just kind of got lost. I thought it was a little bit slow, but I think there was an update to it, so I would definitely go back to that.
Yeah.
I'm stoked to play Yeek. Like
the way you feel about this is how I feel about Yeek. So,
oh, you didn't like
that's
it.
That's why I hate it so much.
Well, here, Jordan, here's my final verdict, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I would rather replay Octopath Traveler 1 than have to continue in this game.
I mean, I think that goes without saying, for sure. I thought you were planning to go back to it after you finished the second game.
I am at some point.
An opportunity to do that. So.
Yeah, I think I'll need some other, like, I'll need a lull, I think, to get into it, though. Like, So I've kind of fallen off the Trails from Reverie momentarily because I started Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
And I'm having a blast with that. So yeah, Octopath Traveler 1 one day, but we'll have to wait for some kind of lull in the big game release schedule, I think. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, we'll definitely do something Baldur's Gate. After the game comes to PS5, I'm going to pick it up there. It's cross-platform. We'll have to get into that. That'll be fun to do some co-op play there.
Yeah, we need to find out.
I was going to say, the last thing I did in Baldur's Gate 3 before recording was I accidentally walked in on two goblins having sex in a barn.
And you said accidentally in quotation marks, right? Like, you knew what was going on there.
I honestly didn't know what was going on. I was like, why is this barn locked? So yeah. I unlocked it and I'm like, oh crap. And it was like this weird situation where it was like a little male goblin and this massive woman goblin. And
I
then
think they were two different species, but
oh, maybe because the woman, the female of the two started like making fun of the, of like the size of the other.
That's good. That's good.
And I was like, man, like this, I this was the last thing I was expecting when I unlocked that door.
This is the best moment of the podcast is you describing, you know, something fun that happens in another game for sure. Yeah, I want to leave. I just want to get
here.
Out.
Here's we should end with. So are we committing to dungeon encounters for?
Yes, like,
are
yes.
Are we giving sure. Square Enix another try on their mid tier list?
Well, we've got two games now. So Y2K or Yeek? Yes, add that to the 5 hour list for sure.
The update version though looks like it hasn't come out. Like they announced it last year, but
oh okay, maybe we'll wait for that then because I would like to. Get back to that at some point.
I want to see what the update does, other than apparently adds fishing. So,
okay, sounds good. Well, now we have to play. It's got a fishing mechanic. But yes, so let's move right ahead to our next 5 hour game and leave this one very, very far in the past. Our next 5 hour game is going to be Dungeon Encounters. Another Square Enix game, but hopefully a much, much better one. I've heard good things about it. Picked it up on sale a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's still on sale anywhere, but it has gone on sale somewhat regularly. So
yeah, it's on sale pretty much every other month.
Yeah, they do like a 50% off or something, get it for like $20 or $30. So it's a pretty good deal. So Dungeon Encounters coming up.
You didn't buy it on launch and just not play it?
I thought about it because Neil had encouraged me to do so to pick it up at some point. I was like, too many games going on, but.
I guess we'll talk about it in the actual 5 hour thing, but it was like, you know, how Voice of Cards got like three games and Dungeon Encounters was just like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dungeon Encounters, that was like, it was a shadow drop during something.
I think so,
too,
yeah.
It?
I think it was a direct or some kind of E3 thing, yeah.
Well, like, you know, it's maybe like, 2 weeks notice. Like, it's the same with the first Voice of Cards where we were close to each other and just got a very short notice. So
that's right.
Really help, especially with a niche, like, some games shadow drop good, but like you just got to consider that people get paid, I don't know, every 2 weeks, maybe even once a month. Like they gotta figure stuff out. You can't.
Well, I think that was like the sixth Square release that sales. Month too.
Yeah. Oh my god, so many releases if so close together.
If made you're, no sense. And I've been thrown off course, but you know, like if your first week sales are really important, maybe give people enough time to buy.
Yeah.
Or let us know the game exists.
Yeah.
Maybe let that first week be a full week before you release another game that week.
I'm still waiting on something that's coming out in a week, and I know the American price, so I don't know what the Australian price is. And
well, it's funny, you're playing your own little Price is Right or Wheel of Fortune kind of game over there.
Well, so, Jordan,
yes.
why don't you take us out?
Oh my gosh. We've got Pikmin 4 next week. Can't wait to talk about that. What a great, fantastic, wonderful piece of entertainment property.
I need to finish it.
It's excellent. I think I just, well, there's one more thing I want to do, but we'll talk about that next week. But I'm basically 99% of the way through it. Really, really good. So Pikmin 4 next week. We'll do either Dungeon Encounters or maybe some Armored Core 6 impressions a couple weeks from now. I am planning to pick that game up for sure, physical copy. And so I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'd be happy to share impressions if we could do what we've been playing in addition to that as well, something like that. But Armored Core 6.
I'll probably be watching my husband play it because it's his
favorite. There you go. Good enough. I don't know if it's PlayStation exclusive. That could
no,
be.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's Xbox as well.
Yeah, I'll double check. But
Steam Deck or Steam.
Yeah, oh, it's on Steam.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah. PS5, 4, Xbox One, Series, and Windows. So, yeah, everywhere. Huh?
Everywhere but Switch.
Yes, well, exactly. Yeah, I don't think Switch would run that.
Maybe they could port that. It would be really funny if they just ported one of the first games on the Switch and just dropped it.
That would be very funny, actually. I can actually totally see that.
You excited for Evercrisis on September 7th?
I am not. No, I only slightly more excited about that than I am about ever going back to Lost Sphere. That's where my excitement level for Evercrisis is. Okay. Let's wrap up here. We've got a couple of episodes kind of planned out for the next couple of weeks. If people have thoughts or suggestions for us, especially for new 5-hour games to let us get into, you can email David at thethirstymage.com. We've got a Discord channel or Discord. You can hop into that. There's always a link on our website, thirstymage. It's just thirstymage.com, right? Yep. Or I think you can see it in the podcast descriptions usually too. Thanks everybody for listening. We will talk to you again next week with Pikmin 4. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.